Hey, Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm hoping that you'll be able to answer a few questions from our listeners about what's going on at the Supreme Court. Not necessarily about constitutional issues, but that's not what most people in America are worried about, is it? It's about how this law affects them and what might happen if it gets struck down. I mean, I'm sure that you've gotten questions at The New York Times about this kind of thing as well.
Every day it would appear.
Yeah, so let's talk about this, because we're not going to make any predictions about what the Supreme Court justices may decide. But what we do want to explain is what happens should the individual mandate portion go away. Does the law then crumble into dust?
Well, let's begin by saying that is exactly what today's argument is about.
Right.
Yesterday's argument was about whether or not the mandate itself, separate from the rest of the law, was constitutional. Today's argument is about whether you can rule on the mandate alone and not have to rule on the rest of the law. And here's a bit of a surprise. Today, you're going to find that both the government, both the Obama administration and the opponents of Obamacare are on the same side. They're both saying if you roll the mandate unconstitutional, you have to rule the rest of the law unconstitutional. And the reason they're saying that is not really about the constitutionality of the entire law. It is because they understand that it will be a practical disaster.
And we know this. We know this, Joe Nocera, because seven states already tried out this universal coverage. In other words, seven states said to the insurance companies, you have to insure everybody, you can't make exceptions for pre-existing conditions, etc. And all but one of them didn't include a mandate, and it was a disaster.
That's right, because insurance doesn't work that way. You can't say to the insurance companies, you have to cover everybody who knocks on your door, but then also say to the population, you don't have to get insurance unless you feel like it. Because what that means is that all the able-bodied people won't get insurance, or many of them won't, while all the sick people will get insurance. And the whole point of insurance is you have a giant risk pool that insures everybody, the sick and the non-sick alike. And
right.
That spreads the risk. If you concentrate the risk only on the sick people, then it's disaster. Now, let me take it a step further, because it's actually even more disastrous than that. Right now, the United States already has, it's set up, because of Obamacare, high-risk pools to handle people with pre-existing conditions. That's a government policy right now.
Right.
That is not the whole. That was just supposed to be a temporary measure until the mandate was established, and then those people would shift into the larger insurance pools. So if the mandate was ruled unconstitutional, but the rest of the law was ruled constitutional, Congress would actually have to pass a law repealing the high-risk pools, which would be politically a nightmare.
Well, here's the other thing that interested me about the states that tried this out, tried universal coverage without the mandate, was that some people waited until they were literally in the ambulance to sign up for insurance.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point, Celeste. Then you really do have a pool where only sick people are getting insurance, and people are saying, well, I won't get insured until I get sick. If you do that, you destroy the insurance industry, and you basically make it impossible for anybody else to get insurance.
So basically, if this individual mandate gets struck down, say goodbye to everything else. The college students who can stay on their parents' insurance, the senior. Does this also do away with prescription coverage? There's a lot of seniors who are now getting cheaper prescriptions because of the health care reform law.
No, it probably wouldn't do that. But the big thing and it probably wouldn't do with a lot of these smaller aspects of Obamacare that many people like, but the core issue, which is really important to so many people because of insurance portability issues, which is pre-existing conditions. You know, the law basically says you can't not insure somebody with pre-existing conditions. That is what would have to go away, and that would be a very, very big deal.
What about the lifetime caps, Joe Nocera? Does that go away as well?
You know, I really don't. I'm not sure if it would or not, but anything that affects the ability of insurance companies to insure large pools of people, that would have to be changed. And, you know, here's another problem, Celeste. You know, they're going to make this decision in June.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a presidential election coming up 5 months later.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And from what I can tell, Congress isn't really going to pass much of anything between now and November.
Wait, what? It's March. They're not going to pass
anything? Between June and November, the chances of any legislation getting passed is minimal.
Okay, good. All right.
God, you just made me say something now I regret saying. Well done.
Well, good. Then you can take advice from our life coach from earlier and write a letter to your past self.
Oh, God, I would never do that.
All right, so...
That would be so embarrassing.
All right, Joe Nocera of the New York Times. If this individual mandate goes away, what you're saying is, for all intents and purposes, the health care reform law is mostly dead.
That is what I'm saying. And I know that other people have said there are reasons why the rest of it could stay. But the practical reality is the law doesn't work without the mandate. That's the core concept. And that's why today you're going to see the federal government, the Obama administration,
mightily,
and the opponents say the same thing.
Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks as always.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.